finished up last week, Esther chapter 4, verse 2. So we'll start out in verse 3, but our key verse to the whole series of Esther is verse 14 of chapter 4, where Mordecai is talking to Esther, and you see it there on the screen. "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" If there's anything you can get out of this series, is that God has a place for you to serve Him, and that God understands the times that we're in. He understands the situations that you're in, and He understands everything, school, family, work, whatever it may be, friends, and He's placed you in this time to make you a special purpose to serve Him. And sometimes it doesn't seem like it's a great advantage to us to be in the situation that we're in, but I want you to understand that God knows, and that God has a place of service for you. He put Esther into a situation that she probably didn't enjoy, that she probably didn't think she'd be able to serve God in the situation that she was in, and yet God wanted to use Esther. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Don't forget to keep up with your Bible reading, and if you have your Bible reading scheduled, to keep on doing that each day. Let me read something to you that has to do with the Bible reading that I came across as I was studying Esther. Didn't have anything to do with Esther, but I was reading through a different book. And this is R.A. Torrey. He's a pastor, an American pastor. He graduated from Yale. He worked with Dwight Moody in the Chicago area. He actually became the pastor of the Moody Church eventually. He wrote over 40 books. Many of them had to do with Bible study. And he died in 1928. But he said this. Pastor R.A. Torrey said this in a book: "First of all, make up your mind that you will put some time every day into the study of the Word of God. That is an easy resolution to make, and not a very difficult one to keep, if the one who makes it is in earnest." That was embarrassing to me, because he said, that's easy, it's not hard to keep as long as you're in earnest. Well, I struggle with that sometimes. I struggle with studying the Bible each day. But I guess it's because I'm not earnest enough. You know, I haven't made a strong enough commitment. Listen to what else he says. "It is one of the most fruitful resolutions that any Christian ever made. The forming of that resolution and the holding faithfully to it has been the turning point in many a life." Then he says this: "It is impossible to make a rule that will apply to everyone as to the amount of time that shall be given each day to the study of the Word. I know many busy people, including not a few laboring men and women, who give an hour a day to Bible study. But if one cannot give more than 15 minutes, a great deal can be accomplished." You understand what R.A. Torrey? He pastored over 40 years, wrote over 40 books, worked with some of the great, what we would call great pastors of the times past, and said that if you spend 15 minutes of time a day in the Word of God, it can accomplish a great deal. So I hope that encourages you to keep on reading your Bible each day. And if you've somehow fallen along the wayside and you're not doing the Bible reading schedule anymore, I challenge you to pick it back up again and start where you left off and at least stay in the Psalms and the New Testament and try to finish that through the rest of this year. And take time each day to read the Word of God. But we're in Esther chapter 4, verse number 3. And I'll read through 3 to the end of the chapter, verse 17. So now, to paraphrase what has already happened in the book, Esther becomes the queen. And a decree has gone out because of Mordecai's actions that all the Jews are going to be killed. And so because all the Jews are going to be killed, Esther has to do something. And Mordecai is in mourning because really it's his fault that this decree has gone out, because he wouldn't bow down to Haman. He wouldn't make Haman to be like a god. So verse 3, "And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was." So you see how Esther is almost shut off inside the palace. She didn't even realize that the Jews were going to suffer this fate. So if she had kept her silence, I believe that she probably would have escaped the fate of the rest of the Jews. They didn't know that she was a Jew. I think it would have passed her over if she had not said anything about her own background. So Hatak, verse 6, went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. So Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told of Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For that altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Do you understand what's going on here? Mordecai and Esther communicate back and forth through this servant, Hatak, a chamberlain that's really Esther's servant. And through the communication, she finds out all the things that are going to happen to the Jews, how they're going to be all killed, and how Mordecai wants her to do something. And she lets Mordecai know that she hasn't been called unto the king for 30 days. And that if she just walks in, all the king has to do is to be a little bit upset or a little bit cranky or not remember who she is and not hold up his scepter, and she'll be taken away and killed. And that wasn't unusual for him to do that. This king was known for his temper. This king was also known for being drunk all the time. So, I mean, he could have just been, you know, had a late night the night before and be tired and not recognize who she was. Or just not, you know, think about, you know, I don't really want to talk to anybody today. And she could have lost her life. So she tells Mordecai that. And then Mordecai tells her that this is her time. And that if she doesn't go in, there will be deliverance that comes from somewhere else, but not from her. But it can come from her. So Esther says, fast for me. Pray for me. We'll do that 3 days and three nights. And then I will go unto the king. And if I perish, I perish. That's an amazing statement from Esther. You know, I don't think very many of us would choose to give up our lives for something that we believe in. Most of us would probably say, you know what? I'll just keep quiet. I'll just stay off to the side. It's not my business. God will protect me. Surely God will bring deliverance through someone else, but I'm not going to risk my life. I'm not going to step out and put my life in the line. I'm not going to step out and, you know, draw the attention to myself where I could lose my life. But Esther was confronted with a choice, and she realized that this choice could cost her her life. She could very well lose her life, and she was not being overdramatic here. This king was known for just wiping out people. He got mad at some wise men that were working for him and had all of them wiped out and killed. I think it was, I forgot the number, I didn't write it down, but roughly 100,000 people, their families, their whole group of people that were connected with them, that he had killed because he didn't like the advice that they gave. There's other things that he did that wasn't logical. He wasn't completely sane all the time. He spent a lot of time drunk. It's the same king that we call in history Xerxes. He was known for not doing things rationally. So Esther had reason to fear him, especially since she hadn't been called in 30 days. She hadn't seen him in a month. So she's afraid. But she makes up her mind to go in, and that she doesn't know what's going to happen. I want you to understand tonight that there are things that are involved in our lives as it comes to serving God that we need to take the same approach as Esther, that we need to disregard the people that may call us names, may say something wrong to us, may offend us, may even curse us, may even bring physical harm to us, may cut us off, even in our own family, may not talk to us. We may lose friends over this. But I want you to understand that there are times that we have to understand that there are things that are bigger than ourselves, that there are things that are worth losing things over, that there are things worth losing even our life over. Now, it's foolish to lose your life over something small. I understand that. But I want you to understand that to lose your life over the things that are in the Word of God is no small matter. And that we need to take the line with Esther that if we perish doing what serving God that way, then we perish. We go to God and He will protect us. But I want you to get this thought tonight that we must get involved. We must get involved. Think about this tonight. Look at your own life and look at the things that you're involved in. Most of the things that we're involved in are things that we either want to be involved in or we have to be involved in because we need the money, right? I've worked a lot of jobs I didn't like to work, but I worked them because I needed the money, because I like to eat, you know? I like to wear clothes. I like to drive a vehicle sometimes, you know? You have to work to make money. So we're involved in things that we like or things that we have to be involved in. Now, what is our involvement in God? What is our involvement here in church? Do we like coming to church? Do we enjoy coming to church? We get involved in what we want to get involved in. We need to make sure that we're involved in the things of the Lord, that we're involved in the things that involve the Word of God in serving the Lord. We must get involved. You're going to be involved in something. You might as well make it involved in something that's the best thing to be involved in, something that's greater than ourselves, something that's bigger than anything else in the world, something that's more important than anything else. And at times it's difficult to see how it's important to serve God. Sometimes it's difficult to take that time, to take that step, and to step out in faith and say, you know, I'm going to serve God regardless of what else is going on in my life. Regardless of all the other opportunities that I had to do other things, I'm going to continue to serve God. Those choices are not easy. And as we look at Esther's life here, this is not an easy choice. You know, she had 3 days to think about what she was going to do. 3 days of no food, fasting, each day, each night fasting. I'm sure she was a little bit nervous about what was going to happen. You know, sometimes when you're confronted with a situation, you don't even have time to get nervous. The situation passes, it's over with, and then after it's over, then you realize how nervous you are. But she had 3 days to think about this. 3 days of not eating. You know, sometimes eating gives you a little bit of enjoyment. You forget what's going on around you. But she didn't even do that. So she had 3 days of fasting to think about what she was going to do and to realize that she could lose her life at the end of those 3 days. I often wonder if we were placed in that same situation, if we would do the same thing that she did, if we would stand and take that measure of going in front of the king, realizing that we could lose our lives for what we're doing. We could lose our lives for the choices that we make. But I want you to understand tonight that we must get involved in things of the Lord. We must get involved in serving God. There's 3 ways that we can get involved. I want you to see this first way here. By seeing the need. By seeing the need. We can get involved by seeing the need that's around us. In Lamentations 3:51, Jeremiah says this, and he's talking about looking at the suffering of Israel that's going on at the time. And he says this, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." You know, we have to see the need to get involved. We have to realize, first of all, that there is a need around us. Esther had to do that in her life. She had to see that there was a need that was bigger than herself, that was bigger than her own safety, that was bigger than her own life. There is a whole nation that was depending on what Esther was going to do in 3 days. There is a whole nation that was fasting and praying for what Esther was going to do. Now, we can't often see a whole group of people around us, but I want you to understand this, that we need to be able to see that there is a need that is bigger than ourselves. When we look at people that are around us, we need to understand that there is a whole group of people around us that are in great need, that they need Jesus Christ. They need us to serve God. They need us to take a stand for what is right. And it's not easy to take that stand. It's not easy to serve God. It's not easy sometimes to take the commitment, to take the time to do the things that God wants us to do. But I want you to understand that there is a need bigger than ourselves. And sometimes we just have to put away our own selfishness and realize, you know, there's other people around me that are depending on how I live my life. There's other people around me that are watching how I live my life. And yes, it's easy to cave into the pressure and to live a life that we want to live, that's comfortable for us. But I want you to understand that we need to see that need. I was looking up some things this week about inventions. Because, you know, invention is just simply, most inventions have happened because some inventor has seen a need and then made an invention to fill that need. And Thomas Edison said almost those exact words, that they talked to him about the light bulb, because you realize Thomas Edison's not the first one that ever invented a light bulb. But the light bulbs that other people invented burnt out quickly. Some of them lasted only a few hours. You know, like the light bulbs you buy at True Value. But I'm just kidding. But those light bulbs would only last a few hours, and Edison realized that for a light bulb to work, you have to make it last longer. So he kept working and getting the light bulb to last longer because he saw that need. And he said, inventions are simply seeing that need and fulfilling the need. So then, on top of that, not only did he work with a longer light bulb, a longer lasting light bulb, but he also saw the importance and developed a system to supply it with power. So he made a generator. He made all kinds of systems to carry the current, to a light bulb, and actually wired up the first building. It was a theater with electric lights. All because Edison saw a need and realized that it needed to be filled and worked on the light bulb. He worked almost a whole entire year on perfecting the light bulb. Now, that may seem like a small thing, but you realize we use light bulbs every day. That's the one invention I know for sure I use every day. I don't know if I use other inventions, you know, every day, but I for sure use a light bulb every single day. You realize that if Edison hadn't seen the need, that, you know, we wouldn't have had a better light bulb until that next person had come along. Do you realize that there are people in your life that if we don't see their need, they may never see Jesus Christ in our lives? They may never come to an understanding of what Jesus Christ has done. We have to see the need. Esther was able to see the need and realize that even if she died, she would have died serving God and serving something that was greater than herself. She would have died serving a cause that was more important than her own individual life, that there is the lives of really millions of people resting on our shoulders. We may not have the lives of millions of people resting on our shoulders, but I want you to understand that all of us are connected to at least dozens of lost people, and their lives are resting on our shoulders, that their lives are counting on us to serve God. We have to see the need. I want you to see something else. Another way that we need to get involved is by fellowship with others. Now, this is something interesting here. Esther does something that's very important. You know, she just didn't go into the king on her own. You know, she got everyone else, the entire nation of Israel, to fast and to pray along with her for 3 days. She got everyone else involved in what she was doing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It's that familiar verse that says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that even though God uses individuals, that He wants those individuals to connect to other people, to work alongside other people, to work along with other people. And that's why it's so important to come to church. That's why it's so important to have fellowship with other believers. That's why it's so important to hang around people that are saved. Because if you hang around lost people all the time and never see another believer, it's difficult to live the Christian life. And the Bible is clear that we need to make sure that we have fellowship with others. Esther needed the encouragement of knowing that there were people who were invested in what she was about to do. People that were praying for her. People that were fasting along beside her. People that needed her to take action. That a nation's life depended on her. There's another verse in Hebrews that talks about, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It talks about how there's so great a cloud of witnesses watching what we do. And it's talking about saints, people that have been saved, that have gone on before us, that are interested in what we're doing, that watch us. Now, think about that as you live your life. That there are people who have gone on before up in heaven right now watching how we live our lives. Hopefully that's not creepy for you. Hopefully that motivates you to be more cautious of how we live our life. You understand? But people are watching us that are invested in what we're doing. And that we are part of something that's great. Hebrews chapter 12 says that Jesus is both the author and the finisher of our faith. And that He has been our great leader. And that we can't have a better leader than Jesus Christ. And that by fellowship with other believers, by knowing that there are other people already in heaven that are interested in what we're doing, and that Jesus is the one who leads us and guides us, that we are really part of something that's great. That we're part of something that's bigger than ourselves. Esther realized that. She got other people involved around her. And because of the fellowship that she had, knowing that other people were involved in what she was doing, it encouraged her to take action. I was involved in one race. That's a real, you know, what we would call a real race. Pastor Jimmy was running along with me. But you know, when we ran that race, we spent weeks up in front of the, and before that race, it was a 5-kilometer race. You know, training, running, and things like that. And you know, the fastest mile that I ever ran was at the end of that race, in the race. All those practices, I didn't run that fast. I ran some faster practices than I had before. But it wasn't until I got into the race, and they had people lined up on the streets that were cheering us on. There was groups of people that were banging on drums, and people handing you water, and people clapping for you and stuff. And you realize with all these people cheering, you know, you have to put on a good performance. And suddenly, you know, I was running faster than I'd ever run before in practice. I ran the last mile faster than I'd ever run any practice before. You understand that we need to remember that there are people around us that are glad for what we're doing. Sometimes it seems like we're the only ones that are saved in the whole world. It seems like we're the only ones that are serving God. Maybe you're in a maxi all by yourself, the maxi's full, but you're the only one that's a Christian. Maybe you're in your classroom at school, you're the only one that believes in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're at your job or you're at your work, and you're the only one that believes that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And every time you try to share with somebody else, you're cut down or ridiculed or somebody says something bad about you. I want you to understand that you're part of something great. That heaven is full of people who are invested and interested in what we're doing. And they're excited to see us serve God. And that we have the greatest leader that anyone could ever have in Jesus Christ. I also, this week, read another story talking about great leaders. That Napoleon had lost a major battle. And France exiled him to an island just off the coast of France. A few months later, Napoleon escaped that island. He got onto the south of France with a few dozen people with him. So Paris was a few hundred miles away. They sent an army to go and arrest Napoleon to put him back in prison. Well, the army marched. It was the 5th French Regiment. They marched to arrest Napoleon. And when they got to Napoleon, Napoleon stood up in front of them, and they turned themselves over to Napoleon and began to follow Napoleon. And as he marched closer to Paris, little small garrisons here along the way would join up with Napoleon. By the time Napoleon got to Paris, he had an army of around 200,000 men that had joined him. You know why? Because those men had fought under him. They realized who he was, and they realized that they were part of something that was great. And they hadn't lost. They'd lost one battle with him, but they had won 40 other battles. And they had wanted to march with Napoleon again. You know, they realized that they were part of something great. I want you to understand that today we are part of something great. And that our leader, Jesus Christ, is the greatest leader in the world. It's the greatest leader over every other leader. We need to understand that the decisions that He's put into His Word for us to follow are the best decisions for our life. He doesn't lead us astray. We need to follow His decisions. There's a third thing. Esther was able to get involved and to stay involved by staying the course. It didn't end for Esther to simply fast and to pray. It didn't end for Esther simply to know that there was a need and to be involved with the need. It didn't end with Esther to get other people worried and concerned about the need. But she had to follow through with something that was very difficult for her to do. She had to go to the king. She had to go stand in front of the king. And how many Christians spend half of their life serving God and then fall to the wayside? How many Christians spend a year serving God and then they fall away? How many Christians spend a few months and stop serving God for a few months and they come back for a few months, then stop serving God and come back for a few months? I want you to understand that it's important to stay faithful. It's important to stay the course. If Esther hadn't continued after that fast of 3 days, and she hadn't gone unto the king, that it wouldn't have made any difference that she had fasted those 3 days. She had to finish what she was going to do. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says that familiar verse, "Moreover, it was required in stewards that a man be found faithful." You know, she had to stay faithful to her task. It doesn't say that it's required of students to be smart. It doesn't say it's required in stewards to be prompt or pretty or intelligent, any of those things. But we have to be faithful, consistent under pressure, dependable around temptations. So Esther couldn't just say it. She had to go out and follow through with what she was going to do. She had to go and step into that inner chamber in front of that king, not knowing what was going to happen to her, not knowing if she was going to perish or not. It wasn't until she risked her life, not until she overcome fear with courage, and not until she stepped out of her comfort zone and trusted God, that things happened around her. Up to this point, everything was really just talk and worry until she stepped out of her comfort zone in faith. That's when God began to move in her life. How often do we expect God to move in our life without ever stepping out? We ask God to do something great in our life, and yet we don't take that step. We ask God to move around us, and yet we never move out of our comfort zone. You know what God wants us to do? And this is probably the most difficult thing in the Christian life, is to keep moving out of our comfort zone, to keep moving out in faith, to keep taking steps in faith. That's what Esther had to do. She couldn't just fast. She couldn't just get other people involved in the fasting. There was going to come a time where she was going to have to step out in faith, leave her comfort zone, not knowing what was going to happen, and simply trust in God, and not know for sure if she was going to live another day. You understand that we'll find out next week what she does. Of course, many of you know. But we need to get involved like Esther did. We need to get involved in the Christian life. We need to get involved in serving God. We need to get involved getting other people around us interested in what we're doing. We need to get involved by staying faithful, by staying consistent, by staying the course.